this track, boy.
Get this track, boy.
Let's go.
They like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in that go, you know I'm acting bad. Holly get a bus with my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. Might not swear, I think they like my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. It's pushing 180, speeding past competition, see you later, baby. Colorado Army, with soldiers like the Navy, yeah. And voters where we stationed, patiently awaiting. When I hit the field, it's so hard to behave. I'm Colorado swagging as the crowd do the wave. Look into my eyes, I can tell that you afraid, cause you know we finna hit ya,
hit ya.
Hey, you on your own now, why you watching the official? Chill. You just better hope you make it to the next whistle. And we ain't playing with you, you can get it anytime. Yeah. It started at the scrimmage, we gon' win it at the line. Chill. My Colorado swag in the middle of the ring. Throwing blows, knocking down team after team.
I think they like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in that go, you know I'm acting bad.
Well, welcome into another episode of Adam Monster Tigers Buff Stampede Radio Live with William Gardner. That's me, not the good looking one. And Leo Rivera next to me chiming in today, just back from football camp with the team he coaches. We got Oliver, as always, behind the scenes running things for us. Happy to be back again. Great to see everybody here. We're going to talk a lot about recruiting today. We got some really good news happening in recruiting. And then we're going to start diving into a deeper dive into the 2026 CU team, looking at the offense first. So we're going to talk about those recruits the first thing. But I want to point out, I don't know if you've been longtime followers. I'm trying to move so my fat head isn't in the way. But you can see behind me, that's the background that was behind Adam for all of our podcasts for however many years before. And that was painted by his sister-in-law, Christine Branson. And she gave it to me so that we could have it as our background on this podcast moving forward. So I think that was a wonderful thing. And I'm really proud to have it back there.
Yeah, it's great. I was going to say, it's great to see that painting, you know, behind you there, William. I think it's going to find a good home there on your wall and continue to honor Adam and his legacy. But I had a busy week. Sorry for not being as active as I would like to on the board and helping you guys stay up to date with some recruiting news. But Oliver Hayes has been kicking butt on that end. So big shout out to him. He's been working his tail off. But had a successful first coaching camp. It went pretty fun. Was up at Western Colorado University. And things went well. Did a lot of growing.
Yeah, tell them what position you're coaching now.
Yeah, I'm coaching the offensive line. So, you know, helping out on all levels of that as an assistant to Coach Klein, who was my offensive line coach and still one of the best in the state. So he's awesome.
Well, that's good for you. Good experience, my friend. And you find out how kind of a grind some of those summer camps sometimes. Coach is not always the easiest business.
No, it certainly is not. And, like, you know, this comes with growth. And that was kind of the nice thing. You felt like whether it was me or the players from that first day to the third day, just completely different team altogether.
Yeah. Well, that's good coaching is when you see improvement from week to week or day to day. So good job on that, my friend. But let's talk about some CU football recruiting, because there's a lot of things happening, a lot of good news going on here.
Yeah, we had a big recruiting weekend again, and so far already nailed 4 commitments from the class of 2027, bringing this group's total up to 13 commitments. And it is still, you know, probably about a little under a year before these players will actually be on campus and contributing to the team. So that's got to be noted as well, right? These are not fully officially buffs, but as for verbally, they have given their word to the University of Colorado.
Yeah, and as we stand right now, based on the various rankings, we're ranked number 41 in the country overall for our class and number 4 in the Big 12. And I don't know, I kind of don't think that it counts. Texas Tech is number 1, obviously, but they've decided to be an NFL team and buy a roster. So the only ones ahead of us is Texas Tech, Houston, and West Virginia. And I think we're going to keep moving up because we got a lot of good things still happening.
Yeah, a lot of good things still happening. So I guess if we just want to start off with the offensive players that kind of committed first and then go from there.
Yep, do it.
We'll start with the running back. We got Steven Alexis announcing his commitment. That's going to be a pretty exciting one, you know, coming up. Then on the offensive line, you have Jaden Lindsey, who actually even did an interview with our man, Adam Munster-Tiger, back when he visited in April. So that was kind of really cool to see, you know, looking back at that. And then you also got tackle Zaquan Linton, who's going to be a really fun, you know, addition. He's got some size. You know, his technique may not be there fully yet, as you kind of mentioned, but we're going to hop into all these film evaluations next episode, hopefully. And then rounding off the edge, a guy that our man Oliver Hayes did a great job talking to and kind of got some inside scoop on is Javon Pulliam. So those are the four so far who have committed.
Let's talk a little bit about this class and overall, and then we'll dive into each one of those with a little more information. But if you look at the class overall, I like that we've got our quarterback and he's a 4-star guy because that oftentimes leads other guys to get on board as well. So Andre Adams is a great get for us at quarterback. I think we got our left tackle and LaMarcus Jones, a 4-star tackle we talked about last week. We're loading up the offensive line now with these two more commits, really loading up the secondary. And now we got to start filling in the linebackers and defensive tackles and defensive backs. But with 13 guys, you know, on June 7th, I think we're looking pretty good so far.
I mean, you're looking really solid. And kind of as Oliver Hayes aforementioned, we have a couple other recruiting weekends coming up next week. June 12th is going to be another one. And then the 19th as well. So those are, correct me if I'm wrong, Oliver, the 19th. But those are the two big dates, you know, again, coming up. We're CU's hoping to continue to carry on this summer motion. And there have been so many players and coaches and just energy around campus anytime these visits have happened. So it is really a true team effort with trying to get these commits.
And the other thing I would say that with regards to our ranking at number 41 and number 4, like we're still waiting on evaluations for Steven Alexis, for example, the running back. So the sites are sometimes get behind on their
updates
on their evaluations and such. But you look at let's just talk about Steven Alexis for a minute, because here's a kid who's 6 foot, 203, 205, I suppose. Really good on film, has some speed, so he's got some size and some speed. Comes from St. Petersburg, Florida, you know, another really hotbed of recruiting. But he's already got 6 Power 4 offers, including Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Illinois, Iowa. So that's a legit guy right there, and they just need to get caught up and get him evaluated.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, we've talked about that kind of thing in the last episode of where you play matters in the competition and level of athlete. But one thing I thought was pretty interesting is that Steven Alexis put out that Richard Young was part of his host here on his visit. So it's good to see Colorado, you know, new running back who hasn't even been here for a full season yet, already trying to bring in other buffs, already being a leader and a helping hand in that aspect. So you really love to see that kind of thing when you have buffs, you know, trying to get other buffs in.
Yeah, and it's I'm glad you got those details, Leo. But when you said Richard Young, you know, he played at Alabama, and so he would have been a natural for the next guy I want to talk about, Javon Pulliam, who's from Hoover, Alabama.
Yeah, and he's another, you know, edge that's really going to be able to get after it and kind of has some good potential. Again, if you guys haven't checked out Oliver's article, make sure you guys, you know, go and do that. But he's a character.
Oliver, why don't you get in here and tell us? You talk
to him. Yeah.
Yeah. I talked to him. I don't know exactly which day it was, but some last week before the visit. He was super energetic to be on the phone. Super nice guy. It was really cool talking to him because Liz sent one of Adam's interviews with a recruit. I don't know. I don't even know who it was, but I just kind of remember having that same type of feel. You know, beyond just having a good conversation with Pulliam and learning more about him and his background and stuff and who he does it for. He really is a family guy. That's what he prioritizes. He talked about the big thing that stood out to me is how much he wanted to be a leader and how much he knows about his team's defense and the fact that he could play in multiple positions, not just on the edge where he is the most prominent and can get the quarterback and is very aggressive. But in times last year where one of their linebackers was dealing with cramps and stuff like that, Pulliam was able to be athletic enough and also know the defense well enough to be able to drop back and play off the line of scrimmage and add another layer for his team. And with how Chris Marv's defense seems to be able to rotate guys and move guys around, especially athletic players like Pulliam, those are the things that kind of stood out to me.
Well, that's great. And I love the personal stuff. You talked about sort of the struggles they had as a family a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah. He told me, you know, one of the first questions I'd like to ask everybody is, you know, just tell me about yourself. Tell me as a player, but, you know, off the field, off the court, whatever it is. And he talked about just about not only his family, his mother, and his brother and sister, his brother got him into football, his sister helped out his mother, who's a single mother. But also talked about his teammates as well, talking about the older guys at his high school when he was a freshman, sophomore, even a junior. And it was just like, you know, I do it for the guys that mentored me and put me in a position to succeed. And now he wants to take on the same thing as a senior and then obviously try and bring that to Colorado. So just that mindset, that ability to connect with people and value the relationships that he built and, the people that mentored him really, really stands out for me.
And I think at 6'1", 230, he has the size more of a traditional inside linebacker, I think. So having the ability to play that, I think it's going to be an advantage. I think you want more guys that can play different positions to have that kind of flexibility as a defensive coordinator. So I think he's an exciting one. I was trying to find where some of his stats are. if I remember correctly, he really had some crazy stats from that from last year. So we'll take a deeper look at that when we look at his film and do a film room on him next
for sure.
One thing I wanted to point out from last week, Leo, was like when we watch those highlight films, those are not what the coaches at the colleges watch to evaluate these guys, because that's a highlight reel. You know, any guy should be able to put together 5 minutes of highlights if he's going to play at this level. But what you want to know is watch the other things from the rest of the game. You know, does he play on every play? You know, does he only play
correct
on his direction? You know, does he get lazy? They're all the things, you know, all the things that you can't see on a highlight film is sort of what they're looking at.
Yeah. I mean, the highlight film is only, 4 to 6 minutes long. If you really are, good and can get a 6 minute long highlight reel, and they don't tell the full story, right? You're putting your best plays, but coaches want to see what are you at when you struggle? You know, what's it like when you have to meet some adversity and it's not always going to go your way? You're not always going to be able to bury every single guy. Sometimes you have to be crafty. You're going to have to use your IQ to cut off blockers and make things happen with your feet and good technique. So you got to see that. And you want to see it from the first quarter to the fourth quarter, right? Are you kind of guy who's dominating your first two series on offense, but by the time it comes to, the fourth quarter where you really got to start grinding and get your hand in the dirt, are you tired? Are you coming out of your stance tall? Are you being lazy with your footwork? Those are all things you got to watch.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, obviously you need to see what they look like at their best, but what you need to see, what you also need to see is what are they at their worst, and are they at the worst more often or less often? But Oliver Cam, love it. We get him in here whenever, he's always back there lurking. But I think, when you look at these videos, especially, here's Pulliam's stats. Pulliam had 11 sacks, 16 tackles for a loss, forced 3 fumbles, and get this, blocked 5 field goals last season. So this guy's got some quickness and some speed off the edge. So I think I'm pretty excited about him. But what I want to talk a little bit about these two offensive line recruits, specifically with what we're talking about in terms of the video, because sometimes what you see on film what you see on film for an offensive lineman in high school is not what you're evaluating exactly for what they're going to do at the P4 level. So sometimes you look at film and everybody thinks you want to see them bulldozing and knocking everybody on their backside, but what you really need to see is how do they move, how flexible are they, how athletic are they big enough, and things like that. So those are kinds of things that we're looking for in film. So you got to look at Jaden Lindsey and Zaquan Linton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just talk about Jaden Lindsey first. We'll show his film next week. And the thing that first stood out to me is he plays left guard, and he's between a tackle who was from last year when it went to Temple, and he's 6'5", 310, and the center got to be like 6'5", 340 or 350. So at 6'3", and 290, Jaden Lindsey looked kind of small between them.
I mean, yeah, small is a relative term. Obviously, sometimes the camera isn't the best, you know, justifier. But even still, 6'2", 6'3", 275-ish pounds, wherever you want to gauge him. He's got another year to grow, right? Hopefully, he's still got this June and, you know, July, August to continue adding weight before he goes into his final senior year. And then, of course, there's a big development between being a 17-year-old and then eventually being an 18, 19-year-old once you're actually in a college program. Especially, you know, you're still growing at that age. There's a lot of things that can happen. I know for me, going into my senior year, I added like 30 pounds on and, you know, was able to increase all my, you know, bench and squats astronomically just from being bigger and having that confidence and knowing what you're doing. But I think for him, what stood out to me is his pass pro. He put a lot of pass pro reps on. And not only that, just the way he's able to be active with his eyes and go out and find work. Is what you call it. He has, when he's uncovered in pass pro, he does a really good job of, you know, making sure someone's going to be in the ground.
When he plays violent too, I like that. So, you know, I put down a note that he just needs to get, he's going to be a little bit of a development guy. He's not going to be ready as soon as like a Gooden, for example, but he needs to get in and grow with
yeah,
easy in that weight room, you know. But then that's the way it should be with offensive linemen. In a good program where you got a pipeline going, you probably shouldn't play your first couple of years.
No, you really don't need to. And that's kind of one thing I think Colorado should and hopefully will continue to do is buy more into the development. Hey, you can get a freshman guy. You don't need to play him immediately. Give him a year or two. Let him redshirt. Let him understand your system. So by the time he's a junior or redshirt sophomore, he's mastered the fundamentals of the playbook and he can come in and play freely, right? You don't want your offensive lineman to be thinking so much about where they're supposed to be going. Am I pulling? Where am I? Like, am I backside backer on this play? Am I blocking the D lineman? Like, you just want them to be able to know their assignment so they can go out and hit and be physical. And I think that's when you have the best offensive lineman.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like Jaden Lindsey, he's got 10 Power 4 offers, so he's a guy that has stood out to a lot of programs already. So there's something that all these different programs are seeing in this kid, and I see it too. So he'll be a guy that I think makes a difference pretty quickly. Our other guy is Saquon Linton, comes in somewhere between 6'5 and 6'6 and right around 300, and if you watching his film, I believe the 6'5", and I think it probably is taller because he looks really tall. He's able to bend and move, but he is super raw. He's going to need a lot of work, but I think you can see why he's got 12. It's kind of funny. I say he needs a lot of work, but he's got 12 Power 4 offers already because they've seen what I was talking about, which he's not necessarily a finished product ready to go now. But he's got the size and the athleticism and used long arms and such. And that's a thing that a lot of people don't really realize is that length, when we talk about length, that offensive tackle and offensive line is critical. And what they mean by length primarily is arm length. And you talked about that for a minute.
Yeah, let's before I talk about, you know, arm length and that kind of thing, I know someone posted about the recruiting, you know, being really good. So shout out Coach Box, shout out Coach Rich, really kind of leading the charge on that aspect. Let's get their name out there. You know, let's give a shout out to them because they've really been working hard. And I know Coach Box and Coach Adam, you know, really wanted to make sure they were working together to get out quality, accurate CU news to you guys. But yeah,
sometimes you got to bounce off each other. So like, yeah, I that goes back to what we talked about last week too, that you've also got a rejuvenated Coach Prime who's not fighting cancer. It makes a big damn difference. And all these guys talk about coming in and meeting Coach Prime and getting a photo with them. And I think it also has to do with you've got two badass coordinators who are college guys instead of two NFL guys who don't care about recruiting. So Brendan Marion knows he's got to recruit for that offense, and Chris Marv knows he's got to recruit for that defense. So I think, you know, we're going to talk about this as we go on, but Coach Prime's almost total rebuild of the coaching staff and the recruiting staff is paying dividends already because this is fantastic.
Already, they've been doing a phenomenal job and just so much energy around the program right now. But going back to the offensive tackle, which you're talking about, size matters, right? And that's definitely one of the big things that coaches are going to look at. They want to see their measurables. And as for reach, you need long arms as an offensive tackle for your strike and for your punch because you want to keep defensive linemen from being able to get engaged into you, right? Because if that defensive lineman gets into your chest, you've already lost. Then they're able to shuck you by, you know, push, pull. They could rip move you, swim. There become so many more more pass rush moves if you let a defensive lineman strike you first. So with long arms as a tackle, you want to be able to punch at different points in contact, right? Use an inside hand first, and then you can still bring around an outside hand. So it's just so many different ways that you can be effective with your hands with good length.
How do you teach them their hands? What do you tell them?
Yeah, so we always keep, you know, wrists together, essentially, right? Your first strike, we strike from the belt loop, so we keep our hands about 60% loaded and loaded, and we only ever strike to about 90%. You never want to fully extend your arms. You're going to get some dislocated elbows off that.
Well, yeah, you can also go out over your toes and get extended. So we're going to go, okay, if we don't stop, we're going to nerd out on offensive line technique. But I had one coach early in my career talk about, you know, he's like, you're eating a sandwich, and you start out to punch out like that. That's really good TV when I block it with my hands. But the thing about it with technique for offensive linemen is this, okay? I have worked with and coached a lot of guys that went on to be power four offensive linemen and a couple of guys that played pretty long in the NFL. And what I tell them coming out of high school is you're probably the best athlete on your team right now. That will never be the case again. Because you're an offensive tackle for this level in high school. You're probably a damn good athlete for high school. You get up here, man, and that guy across from you will always be a better athlete. He'll be quicker, faster, stronger. So you damn well, not necessarily stronger. So you damn well better have your technique, and you got to know it, and you got to trust it. And as Haba Bacon, is that right? He says, what he means by that is knee bender. What he's talking about is flexibility in the knees and hips. Well, the ankles, really. You have to be able to drop your butt, because if you bend over at the waist, you're going to get beat. Correct. You have to be able to bend your knees and drop your butt. So the issue is with the long arms, you got to drop back, or if you're pass protecting, you've got to get your arms out and catch them before they get to you. And that's the point of length. And, you know, when you go to the combine, the NFL combine, everybody thinks the bench press and 40 and all that's the most important thing for offensive linemen. The bottom line is they want to measure your arms.
Yeah.
And they want to see you in the pro shuttle. How fast can you change direction side to side? And then they're going to watch your pass pro technique. And I'm always amused, you know, we're talking about Zaquan Linton and Jaden Lindsey needing development on their technique. And it always amuses me to watch those guys at the NFL combine. They got dudes that are fourth-year starters at offensive tackle. And what's the first thing they always say? He needs to work on his technique.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fundamental of offensive line play, right? No matter what, it always goes back to technique, to your stance, your feet, your hands, all that. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how athletic you are, like Haba Bacon was saying, those DNs are coming, they're coming fast. And if you can't bend with them, they're going to get up under you and they're going to get to the quarterback. And you're not going to have a job.
Well, and if you're an interior guy, by the same token, man, those, you know, defensive, your best defensive tackles these days are 6'2 and 3'10. You know, if you can't get down to their level, you're going to get beat, you know.
Yeah.
Could go right through. Technique is far more important, I think, than people think it is, particularly on the offensive line, because you will always be going against somebody who's a better athlete than you.
Always.
You have to trust that technique. And a lot of times with young linemen, especially in pass protection, getting them to trust it is a big deal, because they, you know, they start dropping back and all of a sudden something doesn't look right and they panic, you know, I'm going to get them, you know, and then they're out. So,
they're all right, position.
We'll go on for a couple hours like with this. So let's get back to Zaquan Linton, who is committed to the Buffs and looks every bit of 6'6", 300 to me on that film, with a lot of room to grow. So he's got a lot of potential. 12 power four offers from some really good schools. And one of the things, and we'll watch this film next week, but he played almost every position except center in that video.
Yeah, he was able to move around a lot from tackle to guard. And, you know, that versatility is something that Colorado has kind of looked for in their offensive linemen. You could say a lot of the guys that they come in are able to play either right or left or inside outside. So I think he's going to fit in well with just that aspect of being able to plug and play anywhere. Now, you know, being on that 6'5", 6'6", he could potentially be a big guard, but I think you are most likely going to look at him at tackle. I think that's what he's played the most. But again, it's going to depend on how much he grows. If he's able to add another inch or two and get longer, for sure, at tackle, but a big guard ain't a bad thing.
Well, and I think what YT is getting so many offers out there is because it's 6'6", 300. He can bend his knees. He can get down. But he's athletic enough to play left tackle. I wouldn't put him there right now.
Yeah.
because he's not close to being at that level. But he's athletic enough and got enough length to play left tackle. I think LaMarcus Jones, who's going to play at Brentwood Academy, is going to be far more polished coming in as a freshman.
But yeah, he's bigger too.
They both have a pretty high ceiling. And, you know, that when you could start off your class with two big old tackles like that, that's good for the offensive line.
I mean, it's great. Like, you know, Kevin Jorsey just said right here, you know, the coaches have done a phenomenal job and the recruiting just looks light years ahead of it was just a year ago. If you look at the recruiting class a year ago to now, it has completely changed and the Buffs are just in such a better trajectory.
Well, and I think one of the other things that sometimes happens is, you know, you get some really big number of guys and then other guys start to pop because they want to play with good players, you know. And
we're, for sure.
In terms of four-star recruits, we're second in the Big 12, you know, so we're beating the competition that we play against, and so it's going pretty well. And I think there's a lot more coming because I think I'm trying to find the visit list for next week, and there's more coming. So, next Friday we got Jaden Baldwin coming in, wide receiver, safety Savoy Gittery, and we've got a really good edge guy, Drew Sapp. Kylan Bobo is a running back I'm excited about.
Yeah, he's fast.
Yeah, and we need to start digging into those big defensive tackles. So I think it's going to get more and more exciting as we go on through the summer.
It is, and I think, you know, it's going to be a product of guys like Andre Adams, right, who are consistently going out and recruiting, and even though he's already been committed, he's been here on like every visit weekend, Andre Adams has, and he's been pulling for guys, telling them, come get in the black and gold. And when you have not only the recruitment class, oh, and one thing I also thought was kind of funny is I learned last week is that the commits are actually playing in a Madden group chat with a Coach Box. So they've been, you know, doing that off the field. So that's really awesome to see just those different ways that the coaches and players are all being involved in this recruiting.
Yeah, and Leo, put Kevin Thorsey's comment on there, back up there, because I missed the second half of that, where he says there is no way they aren't better than last year's coaches. If there are people out there saying this, and I don't understand it because they're clueless, because it's night and day difference from the coordinators down, and I would say we got a different head coach because he's not fighting cancer, you know, which I don't think you can say that enough, but. You've got two professional college coaches as the coordinators, and last year we had two NFL guys. And if you don't think that matters, I don't think you understand the college game. You know, and then we've made improvements at a lot of different positions in terms of, you know, trying to think of the tight end coach. Come on, man.
Oh, Josh Niblett.
Yeah, Josh Niblett. Josh Niblett out of Florida is as high energy a dude as there ever was and is legend, you know, in Georgia and Florida football down there. And you know, he's a guy that gets us into schools and really gets us a head start, you know. So it's very clear to me that the coaching staff has significantly improved over last year. I think we're improved every way, and we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think Oliver's going to jump in real quick. I know some of you guys have been asking about Ryan Vernon and some of the other recruits, and so Oliver, take it away.
Yeah, with these two, Samari Howard, the safety, and Ryan Ferdinand, obviously you guys have been asking. And I know with Ferdinand, obviously we've all seen the crystal ball on him, and people are expecting him to commit to CU. And I know the Buffs were involved with him pretty early in this calendar year. Like Leo said earlier, you know, Adam has always been talking to these guys. So Adam wrote an article about Ferdinand back in January, February, and he seemed pretty on board and things like that. So my personal opinion, I feel like things are trending in the right direction for Ryan Ferdinand, 5'10" receiver. And for Samari Howard, the safety, I believe he's a 3-star as well. He was supposed to be in West Virginia this week for an official visit, but he canceled that. I believe he pushed it back to either next weekend or weekend after. But either way, he reworked it so he could be in Boulder for this first June weekend. And things are trending upwards with him. Pretty much everyone I've talked to has had good things to say about Samari Howard and that they believe that he'll be sporting the black and gold. And now, unfortunately, Leo Okay, well, he's back.
That means you got to stay up here in the co-driver seat. But oh, there he's back. Hey, there's Papa Bacon has another message in there that I want to talk about real quick, because this is something I meant to talk about, where he's talking about Steven Alexis, a no-star guy who looks like he could be the guy at running back. Well, first of all, he's not going to be a no-star guy for long. They will get him, you know, with six Power Four offers already, he's going to get a rating, and it's going to be a pretty, pretty decent rating. You watch his film, and he's got that size and quickness, but it also made me think of what I wanted to say when we were talking about him earlier, is that Coach Marion has his template for his running backs, right? And he's got a big guy, and he's got a little guy. The little guy got to run like the wind, but
catch too.
You know, and Steven Alexis is you know, right in the mold of I'm trying to get my our summer list up here. He's right in the same mold as Richard Young and
Damian Henderson.
And Damian Henderson, right in that size range, got the speed and the moves. So yeah, very smart recruiting, and I think, when you're looking at offensive guys, Coach Marion's going to go looking for guys that fit his system, you know, rather than just picking any idiot that, you know, got five stars. He's going to pick guys that fit what he's looking for. And I think that's a much smarter way to go about recruiting, you know. Like, you know, back in my day, when dinosaurs were on the earth, and Coach McCartney started out, and he inherited a passing offense and figured out pretty quickly that wasn't going to work with the head. So they went to the wishbone, and now they had to start recruiting an entirely different kind of quarterback and an entirely different kind of running back, you know. Now, personally, for me, I wish every team would go back to the wishbone, but, you know, probably not going to happen. But, you talk about guys like Marion and Marv, and they're going to start recruiting guys that fit their system. And Northside Ride says we need more defense players. That's absolutely true, but it's also only June 7th, so we got a long ways to go. And I think also I'm very optimistic about this season. You know, we start winning games, and the excitement builds. It's just like 2024. People want to be on board that, you know, because we hit that six-game mark to go to a bowl and go start going beyond that. And Coach Prime is Coach Prime, man. If things are going well, he's going to be the top. He's going to be the top news. We're going to get the publicity for that. So. Yeah, we need a lot more on defense, particularly the defensive tackle spot, but it's only June 7th, and there's a lot of time left to go.
Yeah, plenty of time left, and I think defense guys will come. That's for sure. You just got to give it time, and again, two more recruiting weekends coming up, so don't be surprised if in 2 weeks we're talking about more defensive guys. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, and I think they're looking there. You know, the coaches know what we need as far as this goes as well. So lots of good recruiting news. We're going to keep up to date on what's happened, what's coming. You know, and so we'll keep that coming to you. Next week we hope to do a film room and take a look at some of these guys on their film. You know, you got two offensive line coaches here. Well, I coach defense. So we might be partial to those big guys, but I watched a little bit of film of Steven Alexis, and that's pretty exciting stuff to watch too at running back. So we'll do that next week. We're still working on the technology of that. And in the meantime, we're going to start talking a little bit more about the specifics of this offense and to make, you know what? So we got a comment in the chat from Exile3380, which is a perfect segue. And he says, it's a strong identity for recruiting, helps to be specific targets, and particularly for running backs. There are two different things you can sell. You can sell that Damian Henderson side.
Yeah, power back role.
Where you're the big guy and you're going to run between the tackles and do all these other things. And then you can sell the Trackhawk side, you know, where if you're fast and you can get out there and catch, you can do all kinds of different things that are going to really make you stand out for the NFL. So it really is an identity. You know, the amazing thing to me is how well Brandon Marion sells that offense to wide receivers, because people think it's just a run first offense. But Marion is a smart offensive coordinator. What I mean by that is his offense can do whatever it can do. His offense will be tailored to what he has that particular year, right?
Well, you know? Yeah, I was going to say, and the nice thing about that offense is we have an idea now of at least for 2026 of who's going to be kind of fitting in that. And I know you want to talk a lot about that, William.
Well, I thought you were going to say a different thing, and I want to say it too, because, you know, it makes me, for the last 3 years on these podcasts, Adam, I've been talking, and I've been saying, and I know people that have watched these for a while have seen my frustration. We don't have an identity. We don't know what the hell we're doing. This damn offensive coordinator clowns do not know what they want us to do. Okay, now we got an offensive coordinator who does know what he wants to do, and people are going to see it makes a big damn difference.
It does. So let's take a quick break, and we're going to hop right back into our full thoughts on this entire offense, William, and go position by position group for our next segment. But let's hear it for our guy Adam now, taking it away.
When one layer isn't enough, we go deeper. Actually, Taco Bell, they go triple. Introducing the Triple Double Crunchwrap, premium all-white meat marinated chicken seasoned with bold Mexican spices and tossed in a crunchy tortilla chip coating and dusted with bold, flavorful Diablo spice seasoning, served with spicy ranch sauce. And because we couldn't stop there, pair it with Zab's nacho fries, golden crisp nacho fries, savory slow roasted chicken, warm nacho cheese, freshly prepared pico de gallo, creamy ranch that is infused with Zab's St. Augustine sauce, and a blend of mozzarella, pepper jack, and cheddar cheese. This isn't just a meal, it's a full-on flavor experience. More layers, more flavor, more reasons to be back again at Taco Bell. Because at Taco Bell, they don't do average, they do extra. Triple Double Crunchwrap, and only at...
I think even if Liz doesn't get that ad renewed with Taco Bell, we had to keep playing it just to have our guy up there.
It's good to hear him. It really is good to hear him, William. And like we always say, this is Adam Munster Tigers Buff Stampede Radio. This is his show, so we're going to make sure that it's never forgotten that this is his show and that he started this. So that's our guy.
Yeah, and we also got to see the painting in action behind Adam. That's right now behind you, William. So
I didn't even look at that. Now we've got that behind us. So we are trying to move on and honor him. I think that we're going to talk about the offense here real quick. And I like to keep responding to the chat comments. That's the one I was looking for. Oliver got a connection to my brain. I don't know. I didn't even have to say it. But Alexis has superstar caliber skill set, and I agree with that completely, because at his size, his speed and agility, and really more than anything for a running back, is vision and instinct. And people probably don't know what that means, but you've been an offensive line coach for any length of time, and you've had, I almost had to say a bad word, these blanking running backs run into the back of your offensive lineman when there's a damn hole to the left or to the right.
Really bounce it outside.
Yeah, then you
they
know
don't trust the blocks.
Right, then you know what I'm talking about when you talk about vision, you know. And like in a zone offense, like we're going to run, you have to have patience with the running backs, and they need to be able to see that hole. And Alexis is really great at that. So I think he's really going to give us something. And I think, you know, just talk about chasing stars. You're right, because you know, I know for a fact that there have been over the years programs and coaches that just look at the listings and let's just go after the top 100 guys. And the bottom line is that who gives the stars? Well, you know, I don't know who evaluates these guys. I mean, there's a certain number. There's people for on three, and there's people for
24/7
that evaluate these kids. I don't know what their credentials are or anything else, but every program has to evaluate their own kids, and that's what Coach Prime is doing. If you see when he was talking about last year with the transfers, that he personally signed off on every single guy, he personally watched film on every single guy, that's what we're talking about. But
yeah,
I think that let's change this a little bit. We've been talking a lot about Chris Marion. We're going to talk about the offense right now, and we're going to start with talking about Chris Marion. I know we've talked a lot about him, and talk about what's different between him Okay. This is almost like a trick question. What's the difference between Coach Marion and not to cast aspersions, but the guy we had last year, the last 2 years?
Coach Shermer?
Yeah.
I think the biggest difference, I think identity is the big one, like you said. Just personality-wise, I think Marion brings the energy, right? He's his own figure. He comes in. He's explosive. You're going to see him when he walks into a room, right? He kind of has that presence as well. Whereas Coach Shermer, he's more of a traditional guy, and he's kind of, you know, by the book football dude. He doesn't really want to get too much into his personality or kind of X's and O's and that thing. He's very traditional. He's had the NFL experience, and again, he's more of an NFL guy. I think coming in, Coach Marion really runs a college offense, and it's a combination of offenses. That's one thing he's described about his system, right? It's zone, it's a RPO, but again, there are so many other concepts of traditional football that you see implemented. It just comes at you in a different way.
Yeah, and I think, well, and when I'm talking about the football side of it particularly, I think that a lot of time NFL coaches who haven't coached in the college game or haven't been in the college game for a long time, they don't recognize that when you're coaching an NFL team, even your worst guy is going to be a star on your new team, right? Right, exactly. To NFL focus, you know, you're the NFL hashes are different, which is a big damn deal too. The NFL hashes are close to the middle field, so you got more outside places to run. Plus, all you've got athletes at the NFL that are crazy. You know, there's no college teams that has the down the skill positions, all the kinds of guys that an NFL team has. So if you're calling plays like that, you're not going to get the same results because you don't have the same athletes.
Definitely. And it's just completely different, especially, you know, for Coach Shermer having to go from being in the NFL for so long and so consistently to then try to readapt to college. And again, he was benefited with having a guy like Shador Sanders who can kind of be the offense and, you know, make things happen when the play breaks down and can go off that first initial play. But moving forward, when you don't have that necessary, you know, top three quarterback talent in college football, you need to be able to be more structured and have a more of a game plan that benefits your players and team as a whole.
Yeah, and I think that it's also true that you have to tweak your offense to the talent that you have. Okay, so it was very clear in 2024 with that quarterback and those wide receivers, that's what you got to do, right? Throw it downfield. Because you got a guy in the quarterback who can buy you time and get the ball where it needs to be, and then you've got at least four dudes in the wide receiver room who go and get it, you know. And that wasn't the team we had last year, you know. And the thing that infuriated me about Shermer the most is every time we got a little success in the running game, we stopped doing it. And I don't care what the hell profession you are, football, whatever. When something works, you keep doing it, right? I don't know, maybe I'm an idiot. Well, I'm sure I'm an idiot, but you know, when something works, you stick to frick with it, you know. Hey, you know what I've noticed? You know what I've noticed, Leo? That I'm having a little bit of cleaner mouth with here. Maybe you're a good influence or something.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not getting under your skin enough. We'll see. We'll see as the time goes by.
You don't know the buttons to push like Adam did. But so I think, you know, one of the things that bugged me about Shermer is that he didn't stick with things that were working. Everybody's talking about our running back sucked. Our line sucked. We couldn't run the ball. We could run the ball.
Never tried.
We just didn't do it. Well, we tried. We had success, you know, for four or five consistently. Plays, but we didn't do it, you know, but you've got to run the ball 20 times to have any kind of success at it. So, you know, one thing about Brandon Marion is his offense is built to work either way. You know, so he had one season, one of his first seasons as an offensive coordinator, where it was a predominantly where his wide receivers had big stats, right? And then he had another season where his quarterback was a 1,000-yard rusher. And then he had a last season where he had a 1,000-yard running back and then two 500-yard running backs. So his offense, Brandon Marion's offense is about using the guys that he has to greatest effect. And I think it's also, I've been saying this all along, that it's an offensive line friendly offense. So what I mean by that, and I'm curious what you think, but first of all, in a traditional drop back passing scheme, you ask the quarterback to drop back and you're asking for your offensive line to protect for at least 3 seconds. Okay. If you don't got the guys to do it, you're in trouble. And it's a tough gig to sell. And then in the run game, you know, if you don't have an identity, and you got to do a lot of different things. It's hard for guys to know what they're supposed to do every single play. But Brennan Marion's offense in the run game is predicated very significantly on zone blocking. And zone blocking is very effective and it's very easy to teach. And it lets guys just get off the ball and go and get somebody.
Yeah, I love the zone scheme. First of all, I ran that a lot in high school myself. And what's really awesome about it is it lets you get double team on those defensive tackles, right? Those guys in the middle who are so used to disrupting, you're able to displace those guys and get up to second level at the linebackers. And I think what's nice about Marion's scheme is that's almost going to be what they're doing every time up front. What your blocking scheme is not necessarily changing just because there's going to be an RPO, just because there's going to be a pass behind it. And he even mentioned that. He's like, how do you coach, you know, your offensive linemen on RPOs? He says, we don't. We tell them to run the exact same thing right. As if they were running the ball, and the quarterback and the wide receivers are going to take care of that aspect.
And before I got something to follow up on that, but I want to know, I'm looking on the chat. You guys talked about Livingston and the defense. We're going to get there. Trust me, but not today. Okay.
Yeah.
Everything you're saying, I agree with it, but that's not today's conversation. We will get to that because I got plenty to say about Mr. Livingston. But going back to if you watched spring ball and you watched his teams last year, was San Jose State, I think, right? And if you watch those teams consistently, every play is a triple option, man. You know, it's like the old wishbone, except it run out of a different formation, except it's a quadruple option because there's a pass option on a single play. So, you know, they start off, you know, the big back goes inside and there's a handoff or a fake to him, and then there's a fake to the smaller running back. Or he can go out and they can throw. And then the quarterback runs basically the option, and he can run or he can throw. There's four options on every single damn play. And offensive line has to do the same thing. You know,
exactly.
Yeah. And the ball's going to – and the thing about the pass protection in this offense is this offense is predicated on the ball getting out within a couple of seconds, right? So you really don't have to hold pass blocks all that long at all. And you can be very aggressive about it.
Correct, and that's one thing. Sacramento State. Thanks, Rania. Sorry, William. You know, he knows what he's talking about. A bunch of different colleges thinking of. But that's what is really awesome, especially you talk about the loss of Jordan Zeaton, and people are kind of worried about, you know, how are you going to be able to pass protect? But you're not going to have to pass protect for as long, right? That's the thing is you can get more guys who are more agile, a little lighter, that can have better cardio and better conditioning so that it can last the four quarters of going, because this is an up-tempo offense, right? And they're not asking them to sit back and drop for 4 or 5 seconds in pass protection where they're going to be put on an island and where they're going to, you know, really be exploited by their weaknesses. It's 1, 2, 3, that ball is really coming out. And if not, it's going to be designed and schemed with the play action that the defensive ends aren't going to be able to pin their ears back. They're not going to be able to sit there and just read pass because they're having to look at the run responsibilities. They're going to have to play the, you know, the pitch man and so many other things first before they could ever even think about going after the quarterback.
Yeah, and I think there's some good points being made in the chat. I mean, I think we've made the point about – well, let me just ask you this. Real quick, I'll say, that there's a whole issue with the quarterback last year. We're going to talk to that when we get to the quarterback position because there's a lot to talk about there. So clearly, we didn't have the right quarterback last year, period. Got it. And then what was the other – there was another message that, or something else that somebody's going to say. I think I've lost my whole train of thought because I'm old.
this one?
But, yeah, so you know – Jordan Seed's going to be a first round draft pick and he's going to make a lot of money playing this game. He's going to be good at it, you know, but this offense doesn't need an elite left tackle. It just doesn't need it. You need an elite left tackle when you're going to drop back and have a quarterback sit in the pocket for 3 or 4 seconds. Right. You know, so it's not really a loss to lose Jordan Seed when we got some really superb, guys coming in and have started at this level and have, are really big and good blockers. So, and then the other thing that kind of made me nuts about Pat Shermer's offense was that his passing tree didn't make any damn sense to me, because how many times did we see 2 or even 3 receivers at the same, in the same part of the field, you know? And you have to be able to attack all parts of the field with those receivers. And we just didn't do that last year. So I think the last question, and then since we brought up quarterbacks, let's go quarterbacks next. Okay.
That's fine.
Let me ask you, and we're going to ask this question at every position. Are we better off now than last year with this offensive coordinator?
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. And I say the same at totally like might maybe 400%, you know, and I think it's going to make such a big difference on this team. And, you know, it's funny that offense can make a difference on defense. I'm going to go again back to, you know, the days of yore with Coach McCartney. When he went to the wishbone, which is a get off the ball and knock people on their ass, punch you in the face offense, the defense got better, way better. And Coach McCartney said, well, you know, they go out and they get punched in the face every day in practice, and you either stand up or you quit, you know. And so all of a sudden, when you've got an offense that good, the defense gets better. And it's not just because you got to play against that in practice, but you know, you step it up, and it also keeps the defense off the field more and takes pressure off of them, you know, because with Marion's offense and the talent we got on offense, that defense doesn't have to be super, you know, it's just got to be good, you know, keep them in the mid-20s, we win with this guy.
Correct. I was going to say, William, that was also one thing Coach Prime mentioned as well. He's like 30 points per game. That's the number we want to get to. That's kind of our target. You know, the statistics I've shown throughout my time here at Colorado, when we reach that mark, we're not going to lose football games. As long as our defense, you know, does their responsibility, like you said, holds them to that mid-20, they have the offensive skill to go out and win these games that way.
Yeah, because we had games last year. We held them under 20 or held them under 30 and couldn't get enough offense. And you remind me of another thing that I'm gonna say over and over and again, because I hear a lot of trash talked about Coach Prime. This is a smart man. This guy, he's not lazy. He's not sitting on his butt. He goes fishing a lot. He didn't invite me to go fishing, so I got a little chip in my.
He didn't invite me either. He didn't invite me either.
I think he's afraid. He don't want to go fishing with me because I'd make him look bad. But this is a man who is an ultimate competitor, man. Like you talk about your apex predator. This is an apex competitor. This dude needs to win, you know, and he's going to do what he got to do. And he's done his homework. Like you talk about, he's broken down his program and looked at the stats and things like that. So, I think he knew he had to go out and get some badass offensive coordinator this year. And then I think, quite frankly, Livingston going back to NFL was a gift that fell into his lap, and he picked the right guy to me and Marv. But we'll talk about that later. But so I agree with you. At offensive coordinator, we are significantly improved over last year. So yeah. Let's talk about quarterbacks, my man.
Let's do it. Before we do, though, I just want to say shout out the chat. I know everyone's kind of saying, you know, blessings, happy Sunday, that kind of thing. So we appreciate all the good energy, chat. Thanks for, you know, sending your well wishes and that kind of thing. And we're just sending out good vibes all Sunday. But yeah, quarterback room, I'm going to say better, just for the fact that, you know, you're getting Julian Lewis another year of development. He's a year older. He's a year better. Obviously, last year's quarterback room was very inconsistent. We rotated so many different faces. And I think bringing in a guy like Isaac Wilson, who can come in and he could compete for a starting job. He can come in and, you know, provide another layer to this team that kind of maybe keeps them boosted and more confident. And at the end of the day, he's been in, you know, elite college systems before. He's played on winning teams like Utah, who have a winning program. So it's going to be a good boost.
Yeah, and I want to go back to last year. I'm trying to pull something up here real quick, but I want to go back to last year first and talk a little bit about, you know, they brought in Salter and they didn't run an offense that really fits his skills. But then there was a lot more that went on behind the scenes, especially early in the season with that, than has gotten out. Not my place to put it out. I know what it is, but there were some issues with Salter right from the start, and they were kind of stuck because, you know, all you got is a guy just out of high school, right? Somebody mentioned Juju holds the ball too long, but I think he was put in an almost impossible position with an offense that hadn't worked all season, and now he's all of a sudden in there trying to figure it out as a true freshman and make it run, and it's still the same damn junky offense. Whereas this year he comes into spring, and he's got an offensive coordinator whose offense makes it easier for the quarterbacks. And in some respects, like, you know, like when, you know, I coached on a lot of option teams, and when it's the old double option, you know, really there's usually one person you read. You know, you come down the line reading the outside guy on the defensive line, right? So you got one read. Now this one is four different possibilities on each play, so it's more complicated than that. But there's going to be. I watched a lot of the San Jose State offense last year, and what I saw a lot of was receivers doing various things, and then a tight end would drag underneath him. And
Sacramento State.
Tight end was wide ass open, man. You know, so I think, Salter had problems right from the start. I'll just leave it right there. But it's too bad. I think we had problems in the quarterback room, and we have problems in the quarterback room. It's tough to make anything work. But looking ahead at this year, I think we're so far ahead. I think you know, as Leo said, Juju Wilson is going to be Julian Lewis is going to be a much better player. He looked much better in the spring. And then Isaac Wilson came in, and quite frankly, Isaac Wilson proved that it was a competition in the spring. You know, I don't know who will end up winning that, but there wasn't anybody in the lead. I'll just put it that way at the end of spring. And that's straight from the horse's mouth. But, and then the third guy, Kenneal Sweetwine, came in and showed that we go three deep at quarterback, you know, because if we have to, we got that guy, you know. Who can go if we get some injuries or whatever. So I'm excited about these quarterbacks. I think they bring a variety of skills. I think Lewis and Wilson have both been under fire in the Big 12 and, you know, had those guys coming at them or whatever. But I also think we're giving them an offense that's a lot easier for them to run, because this offense most of the time is not quarterback built. Okay.
Yeah.
And I remember Coach Marion, when he first came in, said, I'm looking for a point guard who can distribute the ball. Okay. And that's a whole other thing than asking a guy to stand back in a pocket and scan a field and read a secondary and a whole other 9 yards. You know, that's more about know the offense, know where our guys are going to be.
Correct.
And then you give them one or two reads and they make it, you know. And so I think we're going to be – significantly improved at quarterback this year, and I think it's going to make a big difference.
I think so.
Okay, so we got two better in 2026 votes on that one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk. I know you want to get to the offensive line, but let's go to the running backs next, because
I'm stoked about the running backs. I'll just say straight up, this is definitely better than last season, because not only are you bringing back, you know, Michael Welch and DeKalen Taylor, who have been the bright spots consistently on this team the past 2 years. You know, obviously Michael Welch and DeKalen both dealt with injuries last season, which really sucked. But I really like the way both those guys run and just the demeanor, the personality, especially a guy like Michael Welch, who has such a great story and he runs angry. I really like him as a player. You bring those two guys back, and then you go and get Richard Young from Alabama. You go and get Damian Henderson from Sacramento State, who came over with Marion. Then he brings you Quayle Smith, who also came over with Marion. And then you got Cam Newton, who you signed with this freshman class. Like, there are just so many bodies in that room and faces to be excited about. Whereas last year, you were injured, you were lacking depth, and that position never really got to get rolling.
Right. And plus, this offense is going to use two guys in two very different ways. And the guy that really impressed me in spring this year was Damian Henderson, because at his size, 6'2", 220-ish, I had no idea he had that kind of speed. He's got to take it to the house speed.
Yep.
No idea. And then, you know, Richard Young showed early on in spring ball that he's got something to prove. And he's got a little chip on his shoulder and wants to do something. So those are two very good big running backs. DeKalen Taylor, a track hawk, we all know what kind of skills and speed he's got. If he stays healthy in this offense, I think he's going to put up ridiculous numbers. I think he's going to be like the superstar guy on this offense. But I think the guy people are forgetting about or don't know about is Jaquale Smith. Like you said, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he put up 550 yards rushing in this offense last year. So he's another small guy that's fast and quick. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say again, and he knows the system, right? That gives you such a big advantage where Coach Marion isn't having to sit there and explain to him, hey, this is what you're supposed to do in this play. Like, you already know. You get a full head start to jump in and just start getting reps and getting better. And you're adding, you know, Colorado's strength and weight room with Coach Swayze as well. No knock to Sacramento State and what they do, but it's different. It's different at this level and being at Colorado, the kind of access you have to nutrition and those kind of things.
Yeah, and I think that we're going to see that from a lot of guys, especially some of these offensive linemen and defensive guys who are coming from lower levels, and it's a much more intensive program, both in the nutrition and the weight room side. But Jaquale Smith, I think, will put on some size, and it just gives a lot of options. And the offense is built around these guys, and they're excited to run it, you know. So what's your vote running back room better this year or better last year?
Better.
Yeah, significantly better. And you know, I'm super excited about this running back room. I would bet money that we're going to have a 1,000-yard rusher this year.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because he's had one all the last 3 years, him being Coach Marion, you know.
Correct. So, I think so. And Andre Bradford, I kind of agree with you. I definitely like those four guys at the top right now if we had to, you know, decide now. But a lot of great faces.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to, you know, that you got a Henderson at 220 who can hit you in the mouth. And then let's move him inside here. Let's cheat up a safety. Well, we've got this guy over here who's going to run past. So,
yeah, you're sitting outside.
So let's move on. Let's move to let's real quick move to tight ends. And there's not as much to talk about here. There wasn't much last year.
No.
This is going to be a position that's a question mark as we go into the season. I think that Zach Atkins is ready to break out and he'll really have a good time in this offense. And I think I saw from Fisher Clements and Corbin Leisure, you know, towards the end of spring that they can both contribute in some way. Brady Coppetz has his skill set, particularly as a blocking tight end. But the thing that really excites me about the tight end room is Josh Niblett as their coach, because if you play for Josh Niblett, man, you are going to find things that you didn't even know you had, you know, and not because he's yelling, screaming, cussing, calling your names, whatever, but because he motivates dudes, man, and he knows technique like nobody's business. So I'm excited about that. It's not the greatest tight end room ever in the history of the world. But I think for the purposes of this offense, given what strength we have in the running back and wide receiver room, I think this tight end group will be able to do what the offense needs, okay, which is to be there as an outlet every now and then, you know, when defenses want to try to play cheat a little bit or play some other way. I think we've got a couple guys that can get out and at least catch the ball. We're not going to have Ron Graham or
Jimmy Graham.
Dan Graham running down the hash marks, you know, for 90-yard catches. No, absolutely not, right? But we will have guys who can move the flag, and that's at the end of the day, move the sticks. That's ultimately, you know, outside of the superstar tight ends, what you want from a tight end is give us something in a blocking game and be there when we need to move the sticks.
Yeah, I think a lot of these comments have been talking about, you know, excited to see Coach Niblett really get after it and what he could bring to this unit. You go and get Fisher Clements, who played a little bit up the road at Northern Colorado. I got to see him actually play in person a couple times over the last few years. And I actually I shadowed his offensive line coach, or then his then tight end coach, a couple years back when I did a coaching internship up there at Northern Colorado and kind of just, you know, got a shadow there. So I think they teach a lot of good stuff. I'm excited to kind of see the way he comes in and fits. He's going to have to learn some, you know, things within this scheme as well and how to catch and that kind of stuff. But you know, again, you're getting Atkins back another year in the system. He's a player I really like, just didn't get many opportunities last year, right? Whether it was a scheme, whether it was the quarterback, you know, there are so many reasons to point out why he didn't get as many touches. But I think this year you're getting a group that's going to be coached extremely well, and that's going to create more opportunities for them. But again, like you said, I'm not expecting, you know, a 1,000-yard receiver out of the tight end room or anything like those means, but they're going to have to block and they're going to have to contribute in meaningful ways.
Well, I think, you know, so a couple of people mentioned on the board, you know, and I mentioned that Fisher Clements and Corbin Leisure both showed something in the spring, and they have a coach now who will help them get the maximum, you know, I don't know what their maximum might be, but they're going to get the most out of what they have. So I think the tight end room will be enough to support the offense, I guess. It's not going to be the focus by any means. And, you know, get back to the question of, is it better than last year? I think it is, you know, because I think we got at least, well, I think we got four guys that can play, you know.
Yeah.
And by that, I don't mean, you know, four guys that are threats to, you know, catch 10 passes a game or anything like that, but four guys who can come on the field, three of them who could be effective in the passing game. And maybe I'm selling Coppetz short, but at least one in Coppetz or two in Clements with his size can really help us in the run game too. So,
yeah,
I would say that the tight end room has improved over last year.
Yeah, I would say so.
Is it Niblett, you know?
Well, and you took the words right out of my mouth, William. That was literally verbatim what I was going to say. I was like, at the very least, no matter what, I think you upgraded at the coaching spot. And so that's got to elevate your room. This one's not as clear to me as a, you know, way better than last year, I would say, especially since you're keeping most of the similar guys. But hey, another year in the system, like we kind of mentioned now about before with the running back. So we'll let it see.
And then let's, that's going to turn us finally to the offensive line. We can't spend an hour on this. We're at an hour now. So
well, are we going to skip the receivers?
Oh, no. No, we're going to have to go quick through these two groups.
That's all right.
But wide receiver is another room that's pretty loaded.
Woo! Yeah, I mean, looking at this list, obviously the big one coming in is Danny Scudero, the transfer from, now you get your San Jose State, William. I know you've been loving to say that all episode, but he is a baller, obviously led the nation in receiving last season coming in. He's a smaller guy, but as he showed in the spring game, he can get open. Now, one of the players we haven't even got to see, you know, throughout this spring was DeAndre Moore, who suffered an injury, but he's coming over for Texas. That's an elite SEC program. He comes in and brings that. And then you got Ernest Campbell, a speed demon who played with Marion last year as well, coming over from Sac State. He can turn on the burners. He could fly. He's been running track. So a lot of new faces in that room.
And I think this is a room where you might see a different guy each week. But I think the outside of the linebacker room, which we'll get to next week, there is nobody I'm more excited to see than Danny Scudero. And see if it translates to this level, I think it will. That dude's electric, man. You know, I mean, he's one of those guys. Like, you know, we've had guys like him in our NCU history that you look at him, you know, you look at him on camera, like, that dude's on the football team. But he's gonna really make a difference on this team. And then DeAndre Moore, you know, he's an NFL caliber guy, man. You know, if he's healthy, he's a guy that just takes away defenses entirely. You know, we didn't even mention Quentin Gibson and Kamal Farrakhan, who both did really good things as freshmen.
And we haven't even mentioned Cam Perry yet either, another transfer coming over from Miami, Ohio. He's got amazing feet and route running ability.
Yeah, and Hakeem Williams is another guy that, you know, if he ever hits the potential for what he brings to the table, you know, he could be a great one too. But there's going to be a lot of competition in that wide receiver room. And for me, I think it's an improvement over last year's group.
Yeah, I think so. Because again, you're bringing back the key pieces. You lose Amarion Miller, but he kind of was almost, I don't want to say tapped out, but his body language wasn't the greatest, especially when it came to things like run blocking and that kind of aspect, William. So you're getting fresh faces in who are going to be, you know, bought into Coach Marion's scheme, and you get guys returning back like Joseph Williams, who are just great character guys, great personalities in the locker room. Can't say enough good things about a guy like Joseph Williams, just the way he carries himself as a man and comes onto the field.
And it's kind of funny we didn't talk much about him, because quite frankly, he was one of our most effective receivers last year, and he was this spring too. He just kind of quietly shows up and does his thing, you know. I guess he wasn't there this spring, but that's why we're forgetting about it. But he's one of those guys that just shows up and gets things done, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. You know, the wide receiver room did take some injuries to the spring, you know, this past, you know, couple months. So that was a real reason why you weren't able to see a lot of these guys. Like, again, like Williams, more kind of get out and play. But a lot of time to August. Coach Prime said he's hoping that none of the injuries, you know, are going to be affected come into fall. So we're going to see what happens.
Yeah, so it's going to be a job for Brennan Marion to make sure he gets the ball distributed to guys, you know, and let them do their thing. But when you got these kind of skill position athletes at two different positions, you got some real opportunities to do something, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So, are you saying better or worse than last year, William?
I think it's better, significantly better. Quite frankly, I think those two freshmen from last year are going to be better. You know, somebody in here said something about last year and I can't find it, but I think it's improved this year. I think we got more guys that are about team than about themselves. Just leave that by itself. But you know, I think we brought in guys. We brought in guys who are proven football players, college football players, and then we had guys already. So I think it's a good room, and I think it's going to be exciting to watch these guys go.
So I think
I
think so too.
Yeah,
And like you said, I think it'll be kind of like a wide receiver by committee thing. I think Marion doesn't want them to be able to pinpoint one single guy. It seems like Scudero is already going to be the name on everyone's radar. So I would figure, you know, week one, people are trying to lock him up. So don't be surprised if a guy like Cam Perry is able to eat, or if it's kind of rotating based upon the scheme or whatever defenders are trying to shut down that week.
And there's also no doubt that quarterbacks get in sync with a certain receiver and they trust a certain receiver under certain circumstances and what have you, you know. It's kind of a no-brainer when you got a Travis Hunter, you know. But, you know, like I thought 2 years ago, Shador felt like who's the little guy playing the NFL now?
Oh,
it would kind
of, 15.
Yeah. But, well, Jimmy Horn, for that matter, too.
Jimmy Horn, there we go. Yeah, Jimmy Horn, you had a
but I think
Webster. Is that who you're thinking of? LeJonte West?
Yeah, Wester. That's the one.
Yeah.
And there's a comfort level between quarterbacks and wide receivers, you know, that I think we're gonna see more of this year with all the talent in that wide receiver room. So I think it's an upgrade for myself. So let's turn to the offensive line room. We get run through this real quick and wrap it up.
Yeah, let's go through offensive line because let's talk about who you're losing kind of first, right? Obviously, we have already talked about Jordan Seaton. We won't mention more about him. But you have guys like Xavier Hill, who is on the Jets squad right now. So you're losing an NFL kind of guy there at your guard position. Your center, Zarian McGill, had a tryout at, you know, Broncos rookie minicamp. He was a solid fundamental player. So that kind of inside guys, you're going to have a lot of room to make up there and kind of replace. But the Buffs, I think, did a good job of going into the transfer portal and getting some exciting guys. Like Demetrius Hunter started at Houston the last two seasons. I think he's a bona fide starter at center.
Well, and I look at last year, and I think our steadiest, most, it's hard to say how you best. I think our most consistent guy on the offensive line for the year was Darian McGill at that center spot, you know. And Xavier Hill, quite clearly, I would say, was our best all-around lineman.
Yep.
He's showing it now. So you talk about Zarian McGill, and we went and got a guy that started the last three seasons in the Big 12.
Correct. I mean,
he
tried.
He couldn't get the eligibility because, you know, the NCAA is always doing the right thing. Whole lot of discussion there. But you bring in a guy like Demetrius Hunter, who's been a three-year starter in the Big 12, there's nothing in this conference he hasn't seen.
Nope.
You know, and the guy fighting with him for that starting job, Sean Kenny, it's not a joke, man. That dude can play, and he's got the size, and he's going to push Hunter for every rep out there. And you know, the nice thing there is whichever one wins, we all win. And then you know, if something happens, we got a backup that can step right into it. You know, so the center for me. I would say the center position is improved only because now we got two instead of one.
Correct. Yeah, and then you talk about guard. You know, you're getting Yaya Atia back. Chauncey Gooden's really been the star of the spring, you would say there, you know, kind of bringing that energy up. And then you talk about a guy, you know, coming over in Jose Soto, who played at Sacramento State last season. He knows the scheme as well. He's definitely a little younger, right? He could still grow into more of that power four offensive lineman. But inside, I think, you know, you're definitely comfortable with whoever ultimately is able to battle and make their way up towards the top.
Well, and I think the guy to watch at guard, you know, and I know some people are going to think he's a tackle, but I think Leon Bell is your guy to watch at one of those guard spots, because that kind of size, it's just ginormous, you know. And I think we got guys at tackle. Well, we got lots of guys. We're going to have some interesting competition at all these spots.
We are.
Yaya Atia, like you said, it is really coming into his own. And you know, he played a lot more than people think last year at several positions, and it's really coming along. Chauncey Gooden was great in spring. But we got some guys. What I like about this group is that we got a bunch of guys who can play a variety of positions and have done so already, you know, in Power Four programs, or, you know,
correct,
or played a lot of games like Jose Soto and Sean Kenny at a slightly lower level. But, there's a lot of options at those guard spots, and it's going to be very interesting to me. I couldn't venture to make a guess who's going to start at those spots right now, to be honest with you. You know, I don't know. I think when we're talking about Javon Richardson is another guy that gets forgotten. But he's a young guy, you know, that's got a hell of a lot of potential.
Potential.
Is he ready yet? I don't know. You know, we'll see. But his size is fantastic. Let's see. Try to pull it up. You know, he's at 6'6", 315. You know, we've got so many massive guys. And Javon Richardson, I think, is a guy that could really make a difference in there as well. So lots of opportunities for lots of guys. You know, we didn't even mention Javon McFadden coming from Ohio State. I think he needs a couple of years to be ready. But lots of options inside.
And a lot of bodies.
Yeah, and then we move to tackle. I think everybody expects Bo Hewley to win that left tackle spot, but I don't think it's a sure thing.
It's not.
Yeah, and there's, you know, Taj White's going to have something to say.
I like Taj White a lot. I think him playing probably on the right side will be a good fit for that right tackle position, but he really is a guy I liked in throughout the spring and kind of coming over in his experience. So it's going to be exciting to see what he brings.
Well, and I think you know, another guy we haven't even mentioned, that one of the bigger guys out there is Larry Johnson, who did some good things last year for us at right tackle. But I'm thinking to myself, you got Larry Johnson and
Andre Roy.
No, I'm thinking Larry Johnson and Leon Bell at the guards, and Rickett, man, let's just run up the middle and the hell out of people.
That you're talking about an average of about a 6'6 offensive line there. So that is no joke.
Between those two guys, I think we're talking well over 700 pounds of beef. So,
jeez.
You know, I like those guys, you know, and then you still got, I mean, Larry Johnson's going to be a factor at right tackle. Taj White could be the guy at right tackle. I'm not giving up on Andre Roy or Philip Houston either. There are just so many different options and possibilities here.
Correct.
That's exciting to me. And again, they're all going to be in this offense. It's going to be much more than they're liking. And you saw an interview with Yaya. We said, we like this offense, man, because we just get to come out and hit people in the mouth.
Yep.
Which is real. I haven't ever met an offensive lineman who didn't want to run block more than he wants to pass block, even though the pass block will get the money, you know?
Yeah. I mean, because, yeah. And
because any good offense, to be a good offensive lineman, you got to have a, there got to be a little bit of violence in there, man, you know? And you got to want to hit people and do nasty things, you know. So I think we got a lot of that. We got a lot of guys in this room that have played a lot of football at this level. Coke machines with feet. I like it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know, Bacon. They had Larry playing both of those guards. I don't know, you know. Except, you know, the tall guard issue is more of a thing with a passing offense. You know, when we're running an offense like this and they're all going to be, you know, doing zone blocking and staying more low, I don't think it makes as big of a difference. You don't have to see over a 6'7 guy. But I think that there's just lots of options here. And I think, quite frankly, I think that our offensive line coaching staff has a job figuring out which guys. And I'll tell you this, as an offensive line coach, it ain't always the five best dudes. It's the five dudes that play best together. You know, it's the five guys that when they get out there, it connects and it clicks. And I always go back to 2001, you know, and you know, the 62 to 32 or whatever it was, 900 yards rushing game against Nebraska. That rushing team did not come together until they moved Wayne Lucier to guard or to center, man. And then it just clicked, you know. And I can't explain it, but sometimes you just do that and it all comes together.
I mean, it does, right? And like you said, that's what they're going to have to figure out during spring ball and throughout the course of this summer. They only got a couple months now to kind of figure out, but these bodies got to keep gelling. It's good that they have a leader like Yaya in there who's been with the program, who's been with Coach Prime for a couple of seasons now, who really knows what he expects and can kind of help them, you know, talk about the pressure aspect, because they're going to have to go on the road to open this season at Georgia Tech, which is going to be rocking. It's going to be a hostile environment. So whoever comes out there, they need to be ready to bang.
Well, and I'll tell you another thing that somebody brings. If I got to be in a bar fight with one dude in that room, I want Chauncey Gooden, man. Because that dude burns white hot. He, his enthusiasm and love for the game, I think fires everybody else up. You know, you saw how when he had that one pancake block on the goal line, how all the other linemen just went crazy, you know, because they feed off of each other, you know. So there's a lot of good things in this room. So what do you think about this offensive line? Better this year?
Is it crazy to say it's better, William? Because that means
I think it remains to be seen as well. I think I like what I see in this room a lot more in terms of how many guys at the Power Four level have played and started games. And I think there's more NFL prospects in the room this year.
I think so too. But I think it's kind of going to be, you have to wait and see almost.
Just Demetrius Hunter alone.
I won't accept that. I need a decision. No wait and see. I need a yes or a no.
All right, go back. Hey, do a layup or something. Shoot a free throw. Was that too mean? Now you got to come back on and make sure we got to make sure you're okay.
No, I'm all good.
Yeah. No, we'll make it. I think I'm going to say it's better this year based on Demetrius Hunter alone. I think Demetrius Hunter is the best offensive lineman on our team last year. Period.
Yeah. You know, this is a great point right here. I do think our offensive line is deeper, but is the best five that's going to roll out there be better than the five from last season?
Well, there was good.
That's a tall ask.
There were good moments and not so good moments for that line, you know, and Shermer didn't help him any with his play calling. And I think it helped him a lot with this coordinator. But I think the other thing that's positive, and I think another reason why I vote for this year's line is because we got all the offensive line coaches back, which is a bigger damn deal than most people think, because that kind of continuity matters, you know. And we had a different offensive line coach every year for like 8 years, man. You know, you can't develop any continuity with that. So we got the same coaches back. And I don't know, man. I just got to say this. I've never seen a better offensive lineman in my life than Andre Giroux. So,
well, I mean, yeah, you got to see him. Like, I couldn't even imagine, you know, William being you getting to sit there and watch him go through CU, you know, be such a dominant player and then make it all the way up into the NFL where he then becomes, you know, a multiple year Pro Bowl player where he had that four year stretch where he's, you know, the best center in football throughout the 2000s. So, that's awesome.
So that Nebraska game, that 2001 Nebraska game.
Yep.
Now picture Folsom Field, right? At one end, you got the Colorado black ramp, right?
Yep.
And at the other end, you got those seats, and there's a rail in front of those seats where they keep Ralphie right before the game and everything, okay? And it's maybe a few yards past the end zone. In that one of those touchdowns that Chris Brown had, Andre Giroux, he did a short pull right guard to the outside, sort of a seal. Connected with the outside linebacker about the 3 yard line, drove him through the end zone, drove him back against that fence and pinned him against the damn fence and held him there. If that had been me, I'd have crawled out the back. I'm like, I'm out of here. Yeah, that was on national TV. I'm humiliated. Maybe the single greatest offensive line play I've ever seen. You know,
that's so awesome.
I mean, now we're just talking. You want to get me talking about old time offensive linemen, you know, like Joe Garton. You know, in 1991, was as dominant a run blocker as I've ever seen. You know, and the reason he didn't, you know, unanimous All-American as a senior. And ironically, the reason they didn't like him in the pros is his arms. They said his arms were too short. Didn't have the length, you know. So, anyway, that's enough reminiscing.
Well, we could do that someday.
Yeah, so thank you all. Let's wrap this sucker up. I'm going to go. I think we're better on the offensive line for a variety of reasons.
I'll say yes too.
Yeah. So I think across the board on this offense, I think we're improved significantly over last year. I think we're easily going to make that 30 points a game goal that Coach Prime wants. And then let's wrap this up with two different questions about the offense, okay? Who's your three most important players on this offense?
Well, do we want to run an ad before we finish this off?
Yeah, okay, not yet. Go ahead.
Is your business growing but not quite ready for a full-time CFO? Macaulay Capital offers fractional CFO services for companies doing more than $3 million in annual revenue. You get expert financial leadership without the full cost. Learn more about how you can improve your business's profitability and cash management at MacaulayCapital.com. boulderhockey.com. If you know Boulder, you know the Hungry Toad. We've been serving this town since 1991, long before the lines on Pearl Street. Just north of campus, we're your local British pub with proper fish and chips, quality burgers, a scratch kitchen, real English cask ale, and no tourist fluff. We support CU football, women's soccer, and the loyal fans who keep it local. The Hungry Toad, Boulder born, Buffs proud.
All right, let's get this finished. Let's get your three most important guys on offense. I think this is a tough question.
I think most important, obviously you have to go quarterback, right? That's going to be first and foremost, always the most important. Secondly, I think within, you know, the go-go offense specifically, I think you want to say center, just because obviously that's going to be the guy kind of commanding that front line and making sure their ball is getting safely back to your quarterback. And then, dare I say, you know, running back within this go-go offense, you know, being kind of a run-first kind of smash-mouth football with the touch of, you know, throwing the ball deep and mixing in this trickery kind of plays. I would say from those three positions are kind of where you want to be your best in order to have a successful go-go offense.
So you're not going to pick names. I got you. I see the same. I see the problem here because I agree with you. Part of the problem with picking your most important guy in this offense is every position has a couple of guys, right? Like,
yeah.
If something was to happen with Demetrius Hunter, I'd be comfortable with Sean Kenny, you know?
Correct.
And if you say quarterback, is it Julian Lewis or is it Isaac Wilson? Remains to be seen, you know? And like we said, in the running back room and the receiver room, there's no way of knowing which one it is. So, let's change the question slightly and tell me the three guys you're most excited to see on this offense.
Well, now we can kind of change it up because I'll say Demetrius Hunter first and foremost. I mean, that's the guy I've been talking about all spring. I have not been able to shut up about him. Big fan of his. I want to see him all. I want to see how he looks in this go-go offense. But secondly, the running back Damian Henderson from Sacramento State. I think he's the guy who could be that first 1,000-yard back in the Coach Prime era here in Boulder. That, you know, just hasn't been seen for whatever reason. It hasn't been the commitment to the running back or the injuries for whatever reason. It's been cursed. All right. I don't know why. I don't know what the bad juju is or what's been going on, but give me Damian Henderson. I want to see him at 6'2" burst through 200 pounds between those tackles and see what that offensive line can do for him.
Yeah. And I'm with you on that. Damian Henderson for sure. One for me, 6'2", 220 running back. You know who that reminds me of? Chris Brown, man. You know, I love big running backs, and I can't wait to see him. And Danny Scudero is my second. I just want to see what that kid does at this level. And then, to me, on the offensive line, I don't know. I got to pick between either Yaya or Chauncey because I think they're going to beat some people up this year, man.
I love that. Definitely Yaya or Chauncey. And yes, my third guy, I'll go another receiver. I'll say DeAndre Moore. I want to see what he looks like from Texas, specifically not being able to see him, you know, during this spring because he's been beat up. I'm kind of itching. I want to see him on the field in black and gold and see what he's able to bring to this offense.
And then one last question. We'll get everybody out of here. Overall, the entire offense, I think it's a no-brainer question. Better this year or better last year?
Better this year.
I don't think you got to whisper it, man. I think most of them. In Colorado were better
than yeah 100%. This is way better than last year's team. If you're talking position group, you're talking coaching, you're talking individual players, we just went through the full gauntlet, William, and I think most of you guys in the chat agreed with us, or at least, you know, had varying perspectives of, you know, thoughts. But I'm gonna say better.
I agree with you, my friend, and I think that's what everybody thinks about the excitement of this year mostly is about that offense, and we'll see what happens. I think we're going to have a different kind of discussion on defense, but that's for another day. And for now, we're going to sign off, and we'll see you all next week. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you being here. I think we got rolling a little bit. We got to work on our start. We're not a good first quarter team.
We're not a good first quarter team, you know, but hey, games are always won in the fourth quarter. So we thank you all so much for hopping on Adam Munster Tigers Buff Stampede Radio. Shout out our guy. Again, we're going to continue to carry his legacy and make sure that, you know, his show is taken care of. He loved this stuff. He loved Colorado football. He loved you guys. And we love him. So we're going to continue to do this. Thank you, Oliver. Thank you, William. And I think it was a great show.
And I can't beat that for last word, so let's let that be the last word.
On the drive down here, Brian, I saw the McRib is back. So we got that going for us this week as well.
Hey, anytime that's back, that's a good thing, right?
You can't pick everybody.
Well, I can't. Why can't I? Like you said, and I quote, no criteria, no rules.
Well, London Merritt's my guy, and you're stepping on my toes here. Okay. Just he flipped from Ohio State to Colorado late in the process. Let that sink in.
Right, that's a.
You guys were able to get it in one bite, huh? Yeah,
it's a struggle.
Squeeze it down.
From Oregon.
Dylan Gabriel, that's who you're talking about.
Well,
who is he coached by in college?
Punkton needs to get beat up, but obviously my comedic timing was not there. You just didn't pick up on it.
It worked. I had to process what you were saying real quick.
You got to be quick, man. You got
Colorado, a huge win tonight.
Well, I'll give you $10, Brian. There's some crusty tortillas over there. Will you eat one of those for $10?
Save your money. Go get another mediocre calzone.
It might be just as good as that calzone we had last night. So
it just might be.
We'll just put a burrito in one hand, a dumbbell in the other. And just pump, eat, and then switch so you don't have, one side just getting too bulky, the other side not getting enough stimulation.
I'm not hiring you as my personal trainer. You're fired. But
they won nine freaking games and won the Heisman Trophy last year. So Rick George is the reason that happened because he brought in Coach Prime and I want these Loveland kids to do well at Colorado. I can't really be a fan while they're in college because of the whole journalistic standard thing, but internally I'm definitely rooting for these guys
nationally. I mean, you've got
the wind's almost blowing the camera over here,
so that's where this season's just completely falling apart.
Check 1, 2, check 1, 2, check 1, 2. Brian, will you check to see if the audio is working?
check. That's great.
Travis Hunter, what is your vertical leap? We want to find out April 4th in this indoor practice facility. Ice baby, ice baby.